Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy word. Psalm 119:18. Psalm 139:2-3.
You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down.
You're familiar with all my ways. Psalms 139:2-3. Psalm 139:4. Before a word is on my tongue, you knew it completely, O Lord. Psalm 139:4. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. And will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Psalm 119:105. Psalm 119:105. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, always realizing the importance of being in harmony with our Lord as we study His Word. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's very important that we be willing to admit our faults and failures and sins, ask God to forgive, so that we'll be properly prepared to study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice again today in the fact that we realize how wonderful it is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have the assurance of heaven being our eternal home, and being assured of the fact that while we're here on the earth, that you have a specific plan and purpose for us. Help us to understand that. Help us not to waste time. Help us to utilize the wonderful message of God's Word on a day-by-day basis, that we might be victorious and triumphant in this life. We are thankful that we have this book, the wonderful Word of God. We pray that we will love the mind of Christ and love the ability to utilize the thinking of our Savior. And in these moments now that we're studying, we pray that we will have a desire to advance and to grow. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119:105. Traveling the Word way. Traveling the Word way. Knowing God's Word is so very important. We know, and then we apply. We cannot use what we do not know. That's the reason why we study. We cannot use what we do not know. It's amazing to me how people use their knowledge. A small factory had to shut down when a vital piece of machinery broke down. Their only mechanic unsuccessfully worked on the unit, so an outside expert was called in. He came in and looked over the unit for just a few minutes. He went to his toolbox and pulled out a hammer. He tapped the machine in a certain spot, and it started running beautifully. He submitted a bill, an itemized bill. The itemized bill went like this. Charge, $1. For hitting the machine, $499. Knowing where to hit it. God's Word gets right to the problem, while the world's ways only waste important time without providing a remedy. I want you to be sure you hear what I just wrote for you. God's Word gets right to the problem, while the world's ways only waste important time without providing a remedy. We have God's Word, the remedy for whatever the situation is. I would ask you today to open your Bibles to Psalm 119. And I'm going to take you in a very simple way through Psalm 119. I understand that you understand where we've already been in the previous session. But I also understand that it's important for you and me to realize that the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are presented to us throughout Psalm 119 by presenting one letter of the alphabet to each of the next 10 verses. Eight verses. Most of our Bibles have this. You should have it in your Bible. If you look at Psalm 119, the first 8 verses, you will see that there's a little caption there that says Aleph. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The next one, number 2, is Beth, verses 9 through 16. The next one, number 3, is Gimel, in verses 17 through 24. I would encourage you, if you will, to be aware of the fact that we have Aleph, Beth, Gimel. The next one is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Daleth, D-A-L-E-T-H, verses 25 to 32. Number 5 is Hey, in verses 33 to 40. The next one is Vow, number 6, 41 to 48. The next one, number 7, the seventh letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Zayin, beginning with verse 49 through 56. Heth is the next one, 8 verses, 57 through 64. The ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Teth, beginning with verse 65 and going through 72. Number 10, the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Yod, beginning with verse 73 and going through 80. I'm aware of the fact that you could do this by yourself. You may not do it, but I want you to see that the next one is Kaf, beginning with verse 81 down through 88. Please be aware of the fact that we're looking at 8 verses in each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Lamed is number 12, beginning with verse 89, going through 96. The 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Mem, verse 97 through 104. The next one is the one we're studying in this session, Nun, letter 14, beginning with 105, going through 112. We'll come back in a few moments to look at that. Begin with verse 113 is Samech, the 15th Hebrew alphabet letter. 16 begins with 121, Ayin, goes through 128. Beginning with verse 129, through 136 is the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Pei. The next one is number 18, Sati, beginning with 137 going through 144. Number 19, Kaf, 145 to 152. 20, Resh, 153 to 160. The 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Sheen, beginning with 161 through 168. Then I've decided that on Wednesday night, we will take this last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav, with verse 169 down through 176. I don't know how helpful that was, but I felt like I needed to take time out and let you see how important it is to view these verses as we go through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Traveling the word way, beginning with Psalm 119, 105, Nun is the 14th word, or 14th part, 14th letter of the psalm. God's word is a lamp unto our psalmist's feet, a light for his path. He has taken an oath to let God's word guide him and follow God's righteous laws. I don't know why it is, but through the years I've always been enamored by lights. That's the reason why some months ago we got these pens for you, and each one of you got one, and I ordered some more, and I enjoy having one. I enjoy having sometimes two. I like lights, and I promise you that I like for the lights to light up, to function. This morning we were having a light bulb in our kitchen. It was blinking. And I don't do very well climbing ladders, but Joyce is so young, she's able to climb a ladder. So we felt like that there was some problem there. And so she got up there on the ladder. I was very helpful. I held her. And she got up there and took that globe off. And when the fan was going, that light would blink. I'm enamored. I like lights. But I don't like a light that's blinking like that when it should be shining all the time. So she took out that light bulb. And I said, well, we've got either a problem one way or the other. So it could be the bulb. So she got another bulb. We put that bulb up in there. The globe has not been placed back up on there. Are you enjoying this story? But the light bulb burns consistently. I like lights. I don't even know whether I should tell you this. But in my early days, we did not have electricity in our home. And we had coal oil lamps. And I remember this. Now, some of you folks were saying, I didn't know you were that old. Now you know. It was amazing when electricity came into our home out there on the farm. But before that, we would have these coal oil lamps. If my ear hurt, my mother would take a cloth and hold it over the lamp and then put it to my ear. You folks don't even know what it's like to live when there's no electricity in the home. I love lights. I love that light. I love what the Bible says here. Look at it, if you will, please. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. Now, lest I get carried away with my early boyhood days, I'm going to move on. Nun is the 14th part of the psalm. God's word is a lamp under the psalmist's feet, a light for his path. You'll have to think and see how powerful this is. He's taken an oath to let God's word guide him and follow God's righteous laws. The psalmist prayed for God to preserve his life, save him from his enemies. He prayed that God will protect him so that he will not stray from the commandments. His heart is set on keeping God's commandments to the end of his life. Notice, if you will, it says, lamp to my feet. When we leave the church here, sometimes it's our responsibility when everyone else is gone to close the doors and lock the doors. And I'm always glad that when I have this pen, I can turn off the lights, turn on this light, and go and find the place to put the key. Now, this is profound, and you folks need to know that it's far better to be able to see where you want to put the key in the lock, but you don't find it very easily in the dark. A lamp to our feet. Life is filled with perils. Darkness abounds, and we all need the light. Human life is full of perils, And we're all in danger of choosing darkness rather than light, the Bible says, because our deeds are evil. God's word is relative to all possible human experiences and all dangers. Notice, please. God's word is relative to all possible human experience and all dangers in life. This light gives us mental, spiritual, and moral strength and prepares us for the test of time. We're talking about God's light, God's word. It's the lantern. It's the lantern held down close to our feet that makes it possible to step without falling. Number two, this lamp or lantern does not only light the path to see the present circumstances, but it makes it possible to take the next step. Step by step, we're to be able to move forward. The light helps us to take one step at a time. God's word does that. We see where we are, but we also see where we're going. Now, you may think this is extremely simple, and I want you to know that it is. But I also want you to know that it is extremely profound. God's word should be held at our feet, our pathway, so we can see where we are, but we can also see where we're going. Traveling the word way and having the lamp near our spiritual feet allows us not only to see where we are at the present time, but to see the goal which God intends to be accomplished. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has you here today, but I promise you, this is not the end. There are some days out ahead for you. And there is a specific plan that God has for you for the future. And you cannot be there without taking one step at a time now. And notice, when I step, I lift one foot off the ground. I have one foot down, one foot in the air. There's not really good balance there until I go and take that next step. Notice, if you will, please, that's God's plan, taking one step at a time. So much of our lives are out of balance. Traveling the word way, having the lamp near our spiritual feet, allows us not only to see where we are at the present time, but see into the future, looking through God's word to see that God has a plan for us for the future. Number four, this light has first revealed our desperate need of a personal relationship. This light helps us to see our personal desperate need, the relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking back, we can see that that light shines specifically on our lost condition and upon our need to be born into the family of God. We are appreciative today of the fact that that light has already been ours, and we've been able to see our desperate need of Jesus Christ. Number five, this light, this lamp, this lantern has allowed us to face the temptations, the pitfalls, the snares, and assaults of the wicked one, and yet experience joy and peace and contentment. Can you see how I enjoyed just writing this out for you? I wrote it out for myself. I wrote it out for you. Please note, number six, that this light relates to darkness. I can just imagine now, when we went to our bedroom in that farmhouse, and you took that coal oil lamp and you blew that light out, it was dark, dark, dark. Please note that this light relates to darkness. It relates to sin, evil, depravity. All of that's related to darkness, while salvation is related to light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in John 8:12. But he also tells us that men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds are evil, in John 3:19. Number 7, we must realize that not only as we travel through this life, that the lamp, the light is needed, but it is available. That's important to me to see, that I realize I need the light, but I also am aware that the light is available. His light relates to every individual's pathway and includes every conceivable step in life. There's no need for us to stumble, since His light is clear and sufficient. So I'm realizing some things as I'm thinking about this light. It's needful. It's available. It's sufficient. It is inextinguishable. Lights go out, but this light doesn't go out. I'm talking about God's Word doesn't go out. It will not go out. Just as Jesus in this same way said yesterday, today, and forever, God's Word is for yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Sometimes you have to understand that while I'm preparing messages, I'm sitting there thinking about how this affects my life and how it affects your life. And I want to be simple enough and yet profound enough to let you see that finding our wonderful journey in this Psalm 119, we hear this psalmist say, "From thy word I get understanding. Therefore I despise every false way." I want you to follow me now and let you see that Psalm 119, 104, which is the previous verse. "From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now, here we have another set of light of 8 verses, beginning our 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the word noon, describing the results of taking the word road. Now, please just follow me, and we're going to go through these 8 verses. In 106, a resolve is made here to keep on the path. Having experienced the blessedness of the Lord's ways, nothing should take us off that spiritual pathway. In other words, the psalmist is saying, when you get on the pathway, stay on the pathway. We're to walk on the way of God's word with greater vigor and steadfastness day by day. Don't let anything knock you off track. Get on the road, stay on the road. That's what you find in Psalm 119:106. Look at 107. When trouble abounds, it pays to be obedient to the Lord. That's what you find in 107. I read it. "I am exceedingly afflicted." Have you ever thought about that? Are you troubled on a day-by-day basis? "I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word." When trouble abounds, it pays to be obedient to the Lord. Look at verse 108. I'll read it, and where's what it says. "Oh, accept the freewill offering of my mouth." I thought that was interesting. Accept the freewill offering of my mouth. Not in my pocketbook, the freewill offering of my mouth. I have to say that about 7 times for us to really understand it. The free will offering of your mouth. Look at it, O Lord, and teach me thy ordinances. So, in verse 108, this verse, we have unbounded gratitude. Looking back, we become overwhelmed by God's graciousness. We see God's care in the past of our lives, the protection, the blessings. Let's move on to 109. It says, my life is continually in my hand. Now, you would think it would say, my life is continually in your hand, but it says, yet I do not forget your law. My soul is continually in my hand. You'll notice when I got to that verse, you see what I wrote for you? Wow. We are given the privilege of having the freedom to make daily decisions to be either selfish, sensual, brutal, ungodly, and under the control of our sinful nature, or, on the other hand, we've been given the ability to be calm, joyful, holy, loving, and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell me, did I understand what was in this verse? I began to see it. You're sitting in this auditorium today. You'll be leaving this auditorium in a few moments. You'll go out into the life and you will be making decisions. God is not going to force you to make right decisions. You have the ability because you have free choice, free will. You can choose to follow the will of God and be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, or you can choose to be under the control of your selfish, old, sinful nature. You can choose to be sensual. You can choose to be brutal. You can choose to be ungodly. You can be continually choosing to be under the control of your sinful nature. You see it? Wow. Now let's go to 110. I read 110 and it says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from thy precepts. The snares and the traps which the wicked plant will utterly fail when the pathway is illuminated by the truth, the light of God's Word. Do you see that? The snares and the traps which the wicked plant will utterly fail when the pathway is illuminated and accepted by the individual walking in the truth of God's Word. This is simple and plain. Look, if you will, please, at verse 111. I have inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. You talk about beautiful. You talk about magnificent. Take a look at our inheritance. Testimonies forever. The promises of God were dependable then. The promises of God are dependable now. The promises of God will be dependable tomorrow, the next day, the rest of the days of our lives. The Word of God is dependable. And notice verse 112. It says, I've inclined my heart to perform. God desires that all of us realize what it really means to allow the Word of God to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Now, let me close by telling you, when I leave this church and when Joyce and I are leaving the church at night, no one else is here, and she goes on out and I turn off the lights, it's dark, and I turn on my little light. And what I do, I hold the light over my head, skyward. Is it doing me any good? No. I put it behind me, shine it backwards. Is my light doing me any good? No. Are you seeing what I've written for you? It's so profound. A light to our pathway. We turn the light skyward. We turn the light backwards. We turn the light to the left or the right. No! We're to hold the truth as we take each step every single day. Simple, profound. And God has given us the light. It's stable. It's inextinguishable. It's reliable. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to utilize the light or not? What a question. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the fact that you've given us the light, all the light we need. We realize that light dispels darkness. And we realize that the scripture says that we're to walk in the light as you're in the light. And when we do, we'll have fellowship one with another, and we'll have our fellowship properly with you. We're thankful today for the light of Jesus when he said, I am the light of the world. We realize that this is the light everyone needs. The unsaved need that light. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. All of us as believers need that light. We've been given the completed canon of Scripture. We have what we need so that we can have joy and peace and happiness in this life. Help us to appreciate the fact that we have what we need to be fruitful, triumphant, victorious on a day-by-day basis. And we thank you for your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.